The views and opinions expressed by guests on the TWBC podcast are solely those of the guest and do not necessarily reflect the views of nor constitute an endorsement by the host, TWBC, or the advertisers.
National championships, Confederation championships, World championships, major professional events. For over three decades, he has been there for many of the sport's greatest moments. And now he brings you even closer to the movers and shakers in the world of high echelon tournament water skiing. From the founder and creator of the Water Ski Broadcasting Company comes the TWBC Podcast. And now here's your host, Tony Lightfoot.
Well, greetings one and all. This is the latest episode of the TWBC Podcast. I am the aforementioned Tony Lightfoot, and I have a really, really special guest lined up for you. He's been involved with the Canadian National Tournament water ski team since before Canadian top Canadian competitors have even been born. And I'm glad to have the presence of his company for this podcast. His name is Steve Bush. How are you doing, sir?
Great, Tony. Thanks. Thanks for having me on.
Good, 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 good. Now, you've been involved with the Canadian program since 1979, wasn't it?
Actually, I started in 1978.
Oh, 1978, year before. So mm-hmm. You had plenty of time to prepare for the 1979 Worlds, which took place in Toronto, right?
Yeah, actually, I started with the team in 1978, and ironically, it's just down the road where my first tournament was at Lake David, where the opening ceremonies are going to be. That's where my first tournament was with the national team.
Uh-huh.
And that's where I met the McClintocks, and the rest is history.
Okay, obviously we're here getting ready for the World Championships here at Sunset Lake, just a few miles down the road from downtown Groveland. So kind of give us a little bit of a sense of how strong the Canadian team is at this moment in time, given the opportunity to repeat their team overall win 2 years ago in Malaysia.
No, I mean, all the teams are tough. I won't go into and say who's going to win or anything, but we all have strong teams, and I think this is one of our strongest teams ever.
Yeah. Okay, so let's go a little bit deeper into your involvement in the sport. I mean, you said mm-hmm. that you assume the role of a Canadian. What's the proper title, team coach or team manager type deal?
In 1978, I was the captain and also the coach, and I co-shared with Pierre Plouffe. We coached for 2 years together.
Uh-huh.
And in 1979, Joel McClintock, he was 19 years old, and he won the overall title, and Patton Mester won
the women's slalom, yes.
Yeah. And Bruce Reed was a bronze in jump. And for my first year as a coach, and that's the first, I was in the boat, I was doing all the stuff the coach is supposed to do, and that was really special to me, that if I've got four or five special events in all the years, all those worlds, and that was a big one.
Okay, did you expect to have served as long as you have in this sport since 1978?
Not a chance, man, not a chance. I didn't think it was going to happen. I mean, it just became a way of life. Things are going good. I surrounded myself with really good people. I started here, and my first coach was Jack Travers and Jim McCormick. Lucky Lowe, Liz Allen, I had all good people. Sammy Duval, and then our skiers, I mean the Clintocks, the Reeds, the Reenies, the Rosses, the Grahams, all those families were really good.
Mm-hmm.
And they carried me. I mean, we still got McClintocks, we got like McCormick, Graham McCormick out there, and they're still the same names, man.
Very, very much a family sport.
Yeah.
But to take us back a little bit to where you actually started as a skier and a competitor way back in the 1970s or even a little bit beforehand. So kind of take us back to a somewhat simpler time.
Well, that's when it was really fun.
Yeah. I don't know. Your words, not mine.
Yeah, no. I skied in British Columbia. I skied in the ocean, and I was fortunate enough to belong to a club right in my bay. And we had a couple of champions. Greg Athens was in the club. George Athens was an honorary member. So I started right at the high end. I knew George had already, he won two, three world gold medals in 71. And I started skiing at 25, so I could get into that division and do good. And, you know, I wouldn't do good in the other division, so I started at 25, and I did okay. Three-event skier, and I skied in the World Police Fire Games a few times and Nationals a few times.
Mm-hmm.
Then I just I had a group of kids around me that I coached, and we went to all the Nationals, and they kept winning and winning. So Reg Barnes, who was the CEO or the executive director of Waterski Canada, he said, "Hey, you want to come and coach the team?" I went, "You're kidding. No, not me." So there it is.
All right, then. So besides the role that you have with Team Canada at the elite level, which you have served on since 1978, I mean, we're in year 2021. I mean, it's absolutely incredible to think that starting from there, where you are right now. But you also have a role with the up-and-coming skiers as well, the juniors. I've seen you on at least a couple of occasions with the juniors over at the Can-Ams, you know, in various locales. Kind of give us an overview of how important that is to you in guiding the future of Canadian water skiing from along that path.
Yeah, actually, we talked yesterday. I went home and I pulled a picture up of Neely and Paige and Dodo and Conley when they were little, and all the medals around their neck. And that's kind of what we have to do. Look what's missing, and get these juniors going. It's like Chile now. If you look at what they're going, they're building, and we're getting behind because you can see what they're doing. But I'm impressed with our junior. I look after the junior programs, and just this month, I'm turning it over to Cole Grant. He's going to be looking after all our juniors from now on and giving me a little bit of free time. But it's so important to get those grassroots and go in and have a system. You know, even in Canada, the cold months up there, that they can get down here a few times and build a team for the future. I mean, it is all about the next gen.
Yes, absolutely. Now, the thing that kind of strikes me a little bit about the Canadian team is how much support that you give to one or two or a few particular skiers who may not be, for some reason, you know, on as much of an upward trajectory as some of the other skiers in a lot of other countries that stay on their teams, you know. I'm comparing it to a few skiers who have been like shoved out to the long grass if they don't perform well enough in two or three tournaments. But the Canadian approach is to kind of stay and support those skiers, you know, because eventually with enough nurturing and enough support, those skiers can rise up and actually be a really good asset for your team going forwards.
Yeah, we like to put them under a wing, like to put somebody under somebody's wing. In other words, if we can get them to go ski with Ryan Dodd or Jerry Llewellyn or Matt Rainey, and all of a sudden they get a little bit more than just like a student. All of a sudden, these coaches are taking a little bit of pride in their athletes, and to develop them that way, it's worked. The system's worked, and, you know, without doing that, I mean, with everybody's an athlete. Everybody athlete that we have, you know, they're waiting for something, and it's nice that they get communication from the national coach to say, "Yeah, you're doing good." I keep track of all of the kids. I got a spreadsheet right across with the kids all across Canada, and I touch base with them to make sure, give them an attaboy or whatever, to let them know we're there for them, right?
Yeah, I mean, it sounds to me that. And I spoke to Tange Bene a little bit beforehand, and obviously you acknowledge him as being one of like the finest team coaches out there, you know, alongside yourself and maybe one or two others. And it's as much about the muscle between your ears as it is the muscle that's in your arms and in your legs and everywhere else that contributes to being a great, great athlete. Do you subscribe to that?
Yeah, I think... And being mentally tough is really important. I think that's what this is all about right here this weekend, who can do performance on demand? Who can ski on Sunday and do their best performance rather than Monday or Tuesday, right? Who can do it that day? And it's all mental toughness.
Absolutely. Now, let's go back historically. 1991, World Championships, Linz, Austria. coming into the final event, which was the men's jumping competition, you had the likes of Jarrett Llewellyn in that final, trying to help Team Canada to the world overall championship way back in 1991. I'm talking about the team championship. Kind of give us a sense of what was going through your head at that point, because I mean, you were so tantalizingly close, you know, going into the men's jump event, and he came through with the score, and I think one other person on Team Canada came through with another great score that sealed the deal and broke that long streak of wins in the team competition from the United States ever since the team competition started.
Well, in fairness to the U.S., they didn't know it was a competition. They'd won everything, and we were chasing, and they didn't know it was a competition. But we won, and we won with Craig and Jarrett. Craig almost won the overall that event.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and that's...
the late, great Craig.
Yeah. It was unbelievable what Jarrett did that weekend and a lot of weekends after. But, that... I'll never forget that. And, you know, there was quite a celebration after, apparently. Maybe I'll save that one for my book. But we had a good time. Jim Clooney was on the team.
The Canadian cannibal himself.
Yeah. And, you know, it was so exciting. When I went back to the hotel, the police were all around, and I guess we'd done something. And I said, no, Canada doesn't do that stuff. And I looked at Drew Ross, and he goes, I guess we do. So I'll leave that story alone. But, they celebrated good. We had a good time. And, you know, a 93 was actually a bigger win.
In Singapore.
Oh, yeah, man. Unbelievable. I mean, going just before the tournament, Craig Llewellyn gets hurt. He thinks he's going to ski.
And then you put Kim to Macedo in.
Yeah. Craig thinks he's going to ski. He's got a torn patella. He gets over there, he can't even flex his leg, and he thinks he's skiing. That's how tough the guy is. So I bring Kim over. Luckily, she comes in late, first class. She got bumped to first class, shows up, falls off the ramp the first time, and then she goes out and put a big score, not a great, huge score, but a good score out there. And I guess Sherry Sloan, all the other girls chased it, and they chased it too hard, and Kim won. I mean, there was a gold, and we won that team title by 2 points. It's out of 3,000, man. We're talking
less than a quarter of a billion.
Nothing. No, not even that. It's a computer glitch. I don't know. We just won. And they took an hour and a half to deliberate that in the jury tower. I remember waiting at the site, and a guy gave me a wink at the last minute, and I went, whoa, baby, we made it, you know? So that was, I mean, yeah, Kim doing that and the rest of the team, it's just a really good world, too, for us. First time in Asia. Yeah, it's good.
All right. Now, kind of reminisce to the other times where Team Canada won through the team title, because after that, it was France in 95.
97.
And then 97 as well, I believe. And then 1999.
Italy.
That was the first time that was in Italy, because there were two back-to-back Italy ones, 99 and 2001.
Yeah.
So kind of go back to those a little bit.
Well, everybody put a big part of that. That was another big one. Susie Graham, McCormick, Craig Jarrett, everybody has pitched in that team again. Same players. And we had a lot of team camaraderie then. I mean, I remember we all painted. We had mustaches. We couldn't shave. Same as I think when in Singapore, you know, you couldn't shave till we had a medal. Now everybody doesn't shave. But then it was a big deal. It was just a lot of team camaraderie, and you know, you just feel it. You feel the team was a team, and you know, USA, they got nailed in 91, and they couldn't regroup in 91, 93, 95, 97. France won, and we won. 10-year drought for the U.S., you know?
Yeah.
And that's uncommon. So it was good for France, good for us.
All right, then. So you come into this competition defending the team title, and it wasn't all cut and dry coming into the last skiers in that event in 2019, because Whitney had to jump enough not only to grab the team title for y'all, but also the Women's World Overall Championship as well. That must have been you must have beamed with delight when you saw that.
Well, I don't know how you remember all this stuff, Tony, but I do. Specifically because somebody else did something that maneuvered the scores around in our favor. And the U.S. came over and said, lucky you. I go, what happened? Like, somebody did something to change the scores, and then Whitney went and did her thing. and sealed the deal. I was actually in shock because I didn't know right till the end. I didn't know. That was closer than anything, you know, because I thought, oh, we're third, we're second, we're third. Oh, we're first.
We're first. Okay.
So that's number six, right? That's number
six.
Yeah,
that's
for
number
us.
Six for y'all.
Yeah, and I mean, Jarrett, I mean, you talk about, you know, surrounding myself with good people. Jarrett, 25 years plus, 28 years, I think, okay, on the team.
Uh-huh.
Seven gold medals, five team medals. I mean, and countless other medals, and his Pan Am Games medal. It's amazing to have that guy as the center of our focus of our team for that many years. And that's why, you know. I mean, I just went along for the ride, to be honest, Tony. These guys are so good. I mean, what I do is I make it so it's a bit, all you have to do is ski. If we go to a tournament somewhere, I go early. I get lost. I know the streets. I don't need GPS. I know where I am. I have a hotel. I have a car for them. They arrive. I give them water. I give them money. They're asleep. All the other cars are, people are looking for car rentals and they're wood and then we're gone, you know? And they get to the place and they don't have to do squat but ski, right?
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. And actually I hear stories from here and there, but is it true that you actually go to the site of the World Championships beforehand and do recon on the hotels and the site itself and everything that goes along with the World Championships long before Team Canada ever sets foot to practice for the World Championships, let alone compete?
Well, I try to keep the same time zone, so I'll go a year previous. I'll go ahead on my own.
Mm-hmm.
I went to Asia on my own. I went to South America, Europe, and just scout it all out, get to know the lay of the land, get to know people in the hotel. Hey, Mr. Bush, good to see you again. You know, it's like, it worked. I mean, it's not a game. It's kind of fun on my part. I get to travel a bit, and it's productive. These guys, like, I mean, Ryan. What do I do for Ryan Dodd? I go, you're going to turn this way, turn it? No, he knows what he has to do. I get him a nice place to stay. I get him his food, his water, his massage, whatever he needs. He just comes there and goes and skis, and that's all I can do for him, you know?
All right, based on an individual level, I mean, we talked about Team Canada for the team titles. Among the individuals, I know it's hard to actually point out and say which one you take the most pleasure in, but you know, the likes of Whitney McClintock and Jarrett Llewellyn, and now today, the prospect of maybe celebrating the same with Dorian Llewellyn being at the men at the top of the field in the men's overall competition. You know, I mean, it's really hard, isn't it, to separate them?
You know, they're like my kids, to be honest. Like, just think about it. I'm coaching kids of coaches, guys I coached. That's the whole deal. You know, it's the third, second generation. And when I look at what Whitney did in 2009 in Canada, right?
Yeah.
HJ, three gold medals plus a team goal, four gold medals, the golden girl.
On the back page of every newspaper in Canada.
So, that's pretty special. But then there's you know, Susie Graham, Jim Clooney, you know, and the Reed family, and some of them, and one of the biggest ones ever is Judy McClintock Messer in 70 or 85.
It was 85, yeah.
85, we had this two jump rule in the preliminary round, and all she had to do was go jump like 100 feet or something, and she scripted out on the first one, and the next one she just got like 99 feet or something, and she missed the overall by nothing, and I mean, she was devastated, and she goes up into the mountains, comes back the next day, and she wins the gold and the tricks. And then 10 years later, she came back and won the overall in France, you know, in Roquebrune, and I mean, man, and she just got better each round, and because she had two kids, she was relaxed, she just played with the kids, my turn to ski, and she got better each round.
Just absolutely remarkable what motivates skiers, you know, the kind of things that that work in their favor and everything, and you know, every skier is different, but we'll kind of leave it on that a little bit.
Thanks.
Thank you very much indeed, Steve, for your participation in the TWBC podcast. But is there anything you would like to say by way of thanks or a shout out to someone that has really helped get you from where you were to where you are right now? Your microphone is yours.
Well, first of all, thank you for doing the webcast. It's come a long way. Just like in skiing, it's come a long ways. When I started, women's slalom was two at 35, now it's two at 41. It's like, you know, and everything's come involved. But along the way, you know, there's a guy, Reg Barnes, he was president of USA Waterski. He got me started, and Clint Ward, Pierre Plouffe, and then, you know, the guys that that I coached became my friends, like the Drews and the Matts and the Jarretts and Jim Clooney's and that. So they're the ones that kept me going. And also, then I look at the next generation and I go, well, yeah, this is kind of fun. So a shout out to all those juniors that that are now skiing in this event, like like Neely and Paige and Dodo and Conley. They're all here, right? Those four kids, right? So yeah, and yeah. And anyway, in this Water Ski Canada, and also the biggest supporter we got is Sport Canada. You know, they look after me. I've been to all the coaching courses, you know, Coaches of Canada, and that's really helped us too in the long run over the years. So that's a lot of thanking. But
yeah, indeed.
Sorry about that. But,
hey, yeah. That's not a problem. Not a problem at all. And you've been listening to Steve Bush. I'm Tony Lightfoot. This has been the latest edition of the TWBC podcast. And until next time, it is ciao for now.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to the TWBC podcast. Be sure to check out our website at waterskibroadcasting.com. Links to our presence on major social media platforms can be found there, as well as updates to our webcast and this podcast. Duplication or rebroadcasting of this broadcast without written consent of TWBC is prohibited. Subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform and be sure to join us next time for the next edition of the TWBC podcast.